Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An excellent Radio Row show continues from New Orleans as we welcome you back live on Grant and Danny on the Fan. Danny's in D.C. I'm out here at Media Row in Louisiana ahead of Super Bowl 59 in the Big Easy. We'll hit the headlines and look ahead to the night that will be in D.C. sports before we get out of here. But right now joining us is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, who gets to call the Super Bowl every single year at this point. It's the Chiefs Invitational. Basically, the question is, Mitch, which NFC team are you guys going to play in early February each season?
Well, first of all, I went 21 years without a playoff win. So, you know, when people say, hey, God's opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble, I go, I've had some humility here. I've been on the other side of the rock. But it's been terrific. There's so many storylines to this team that nobody's talking about because they're all caught up in some other crap. But this really is a remarkable story in how they built it, how they sustain it in a tough division, in a tough AFC, and yet to win on a consistently high basis is really remarkable. And there's a lot to it.
So fill in some of those blanks then, aside from the obvious big stories that you don't think are getting enough ink.
Well, one is the ability to have, throughout the entire organization, top to bottom and side to side, this open line of communication and understanding and respect. And I talk about confident humility. These guys, I mean, Pat, Kels, they're all really kind of humble superstars, but they buy in. Pat has his own OTAs before we have OTAs. And we attack OTAs. We're not playing disc golf or having Madden tournaments.
Right?
OTAs are serious. Every day matters. Because when you hit those, then you hit mandatory mini camp serious. We had long drive drill during a mandatory mini camp. So when we hit camp hard. And there's rules now. But, I mean, Andy maximizes it because he knows how important it is. And so that's one. Then, two, the fact that Brett Veach has been able to, even picking last in the drafts, been able to piece together drafts. The class of 2022, nobody talks about those guys. Now, this is the Trent McDuffie, Karlaftis, right down the line. You realize every one of those guys is still on our team? Usually get 3 or 4 in a draft class. Every one. You would hire every one of those guys, and you'd work for every one of them. And so they have been lug nuts to the wheel in getting this done and to win consistently. And so then the 21 class with what they did with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith and Nick Bolton, and then they keep adding to it. And then this year to add the free agency guys, which has changed this team. But so Veach doesn't get enough credit for it. But organizationally, right now, for all professional teams, they become a case study.
Mitch Holthus, play-by-play of the Chiefs. Goes without saying that Patrick's the kind of the sun in the solar system, mm-hmm. and that Mahomes is the guy that makes the whole thing work. But look at the different iterations where there's a time where he's throwing 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns. Then it's like the Isaiah Pacheco-led playoff run where he's running physically and you're playing defense. What is this team's identity? You know, if you kind of look for something that separates this group and how they play.
You guys know about Max Scherzer, right? So my analogy with Pat is he can throw 97 on the black, but now he's developed just a nasty cutter. Or he's got a great off speed at 86 to get you out. Right now, Pat can do about everything. But it's his ability. You just nailed it. His ability to have the edge, to lead, to understand. He's the alter ego of Andy, right? So you know, they almost think alike. And they've helped each other, quite honestly. Andy has needed Pat. Pat needs Andy and the staff, the offensive staff. But his ability for Patrick to permeate through the whole organization, but especially on this team, has been way underrated too. He's just mature. The other thing I would say about this team, and it's not a sexy thing to say, but I don't care if you're any of the DC or Beltway teams, this Chiefs team of 2024 is the most mentally and emotionally mature team I've ever been around. And it's only my 31st year in the league. Okay? I can go to Georgetown. I can go to Maryland. Those coaches are dealing with guys that are struggling with mental issues. This team is so mentally mature. That's how they've won 17 one-possession games. It's really unique. There's a strength to this team more than just their physical strength. This is a really strong emotional and mental team to handle all this.
Who gets credit for that? Is that Reed in coaching? Is that character and Veach kind of drafting the right personalities?
It's when I took my SAT and ACT, they said, why don't you just oval in all of the above?
Yeah.
That you'll do okay. And that didn't work. I had like a 5. So couldn't get into Georgetown or American U. So it's really all of the above. It's this mixture. And I say it's not a contradiction. It's kind of a cocktail. And so it is all of that. But, again, like-mindedness. Brett Veach knows what Andy Reid wants and needs. He knows that. Does Xavier Worthy runs a 4-2-1? So he breaks the all-time combine record. But can he run routes? What's his mental acumen? What's his physical nature? Let me give you another one, Isaiah Pacheco. And I used the Ted Lasso scene on Being Curious when I talk about it. Pacheco is at Rutgers. Why does he stay at Rutgers? Why didn't he take $300,000 and go to Penn State? And he stayed at Rutgers because he had his brother and his sister murdered in two separate instances 15 months apart. And Pacheco said, I have to stay here. I'm going to stay at Rutgers and stay with my family. So is Pacheco the biggest guy, fastest guy? No. But is there enough that when he gets thrown an iPad of 800 plays, how's he going to handle that? Because we're north of 800 plays on the iPad. Ask Allegretti. Get Allegretti sometime. Pin him over in the side of the locker room and ask him about it. He'll tell you all about this. But the fact that it's all of that together. Veach knows what Andy wants. Andy knows how Veach can do this. They're going to communicate. What do you think, Pat? And again, Pat has his own OTAs. Like, that's the way Pat knows what it takes, where every day matters. That's why they're here. That's why they've been here. That's why they've won the AFC West for 9 straight years. Think about that. That division. That's crazy, right? So, there's a reason for it, and it's not a coincidence.
Mitch Holthus is the play-by-play broadcaster for the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us here in D.C. on Grant and Danny. When did you start touchdown Kansas City, and where did it come from, or was it natural?
It happened organically, but it kind of about the turn of the millennium. Really.
So had you been doing it for a long time before you started that?
Yeah, I'd been doing it since maybe 02, 03. It kind of started with Dante Hall's kick returns.
Yes.
And think about it. It's hard consonant sounds, right? It's like a staccato. It's like going to the symphony in D.C., right? The Kennedy Center and hearing the percussion go bang, bang, bang. So you get the hard consonants. And it's so I go, yeah, this fits. But it's turned into a deal, right? What I love now is I'll see little kids playing, they don't know I'm around, and I go, my job's done here, because they'll say it when they score. But I've had people ask me in the grocery store to do it, church, at a funeral. It's like wedding crashers are going to do it. I go, I'm not doing it at a funeral, okay? So stand down. But anyway, it's kind of fun what it's turned into.
What about your, I don't know if we would even call it a final call, but that you're going to have to deal with the Chiefs. That's newer, obviously, the last couple years. For people, my listeners that may not know, I'm a play-by-play nerd, but you kind of do the, you know, you may not like the Chiefs, you may not respect them, but you're going to deal with them kind of thing. Like, when did that start?
After the 22 season, start of the 22 season, and then it came oozing out of my pores in the AFC Championship game against Cincinnati. Because the narrative, here we go again with the narrative, the Chiefs are done, they're going to be covered in coal dust because Tyreek Hill's no longer here. Like, they're going to go 3-14 now. And I remember being on NFL Network, and Andrew Siciliano, now the voice of the Browns, asked me that. I go, is the coach still here? Is the infrastructure still here? Is the quarterback still here? Might want to hang on. But then that year was a narrative of, oh, well, you know, they're, I don't know. And then the week of the Cincinnati game, the Cincinnati mayor puts out a proclamation. This wasn't a misspeak. He's like, whereas, and it's Burrowhead and all this and all that. You don't say anything until you say something. And when the game is over, it came oozing out. Because it's like, seriously, you can hate us, but you might want to study us, right? If you're the Commanders, you might want to study us. Because you now have, I think, all these guys talk about the next quarterbacks, two come to mind to me, C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels. But you might want to study us instead of hate us. How do they do it? How do they build around that kid? How do they really do it? And so that's where that came from. And I'm sorry. It's the false narratives. It's the crap that you take, and you take it until you don't. And so this team has handled that, too. They come firing away with both barrels when it's time.
Thank you for the time.
Yeah, it's great. And you guys, Allegretti's awesome.
I love him.
I hated missing it. I hate him. I miss him every day. He was so key for us, especially in the run to win Super Bowl 58. Because he had to fill in. Tooney got hurt. Right. And Allegretti, he just stuck right in there like he'd started every day. So we can't keep them all. And how do you win and win consistently and you lose guys out the door like Allegretti? So he's a guy I would pin that guy, and I would – how did you guys do it, Nick? How did that work? And he will be one of your leaders moving forward. He's awesome.
Yeah, he was great to work with in the locker room. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Go get him.
That's Mitch Holtis, the voice calling play-by-play of the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. I'm live in New Orleans. Danny's back in our D.C. studios. It is amazing, and when he chronicles and goes through the different iterations of this Chiefs team, we just think about them getting to 7 straight conference title games, being in 5 out of 6 Super Bowls. But this Chiefs team is nothing like the one that won the Super Bowl last year. That team was nothing like the one that lost the Super Bowl to Tampa Bay in 2020. That team was really different than the one that got to the Super Bowl in 2019. And even though it sounds silly, the idea of, okay, one time they're just prolific and dynamic and they score 40 points a week. The next, they're a run-first team. The next year, it's defensive-minded Kansas City. Really, it's about Patrick Mahomes. The rest of it can come and go and ebb and flow. It's Mahomes, Andy Reid, Kelce, and not much else that's been there the whole time. They have a total, Danny, of 5 players, including a long snapper and kicker Harrison Butker, who have played on all of their Super Bowl teams dating back to 2019.
Yeah, I mean, that's the era. That's what makes it that much more remarkable and that much more profound, these accomplishments of those key guys that you mentioned, and Reed and Mahomes. Certainly, I guess Kelce, too, to a degree. But, you know, you think back to that team that lost the Super Bowl to Tampa, right? That offensive line was terrible and got destroyed. So they went a different direction. Well, that means you probably can't have Tyreek Hill anymore. It probably means you can't be this easy, instant offense team that scores 500 points. In consecutive years, they scored 480 points, averaging right at 30 points a game. Then the following year, they scored 496, again, averaging right around 30 points per game when they went to the 17-game schedule. That's gone. They scored 385 points this year over the course of the season, which is like a little bit better than a Scott Turner offense, or like a Bill Callahan, let's get to the offseason type offense, but not by much. This is a completely different identity, and it's not because of the key guys we're talking about. Again, Mahomes, Reed, and company. But this is a totally built different group than they were, as you said, just a couple of years ago. It makes it that much more remarkable. The Patriots did the same thing. Remember, they went from play great defense, you know, maybe one timely drive here or there, ground and pound, to the most prolific offense the game had ever seen, with Brady throwing 50-plus touchdowns and Randy Moss going deep every other play, to, you know, something in between. Over the various years, you kind of have to reinvent on the fly. Remarkable how good they've been.
I found it entertaining as well, at the end of the interview where I'm saying goodbye, and he's like, and you got to take care of our guy Nick Allegretti. I mean, first of all, that's just indicative of, and we've seen this with the Caps and the Nats, but when you're around for a championship, it doesn't matter who you are. You become part of the fabric, part of the family. Your import grows. Now, obviously, in the last Super Bowl that they won last year, he was a starter after an injury and then played through a broken arm in that game. People forget about that. That was one of the real heroic, legitimate storylines of last year's Super Bowl. But I love Allegretti. I find him to be one of the most entertaining talkers, one of the most garrulous guys on the team. He is very accommodating to the media. I'm curious to see what happens for him this offseason because he was a backup guard who got pressed into duty, started, and then played well in the Super Bowl last year. So Washington brought him in at kind of a fringe starter, like back-of-the-market starter or high back rate. He ended up being their left guard all season. He was the best guy on the roster at that position. I'm not sure if the plan is that that's where they are in September. Maybe in addition to going and getting a starting right tackle, maybe they also upgrade at left guard, and now he becomes your swing guard, your third guard, your backup or something, and you're just better on your offensive line. I think they'd maybe like to do a little bit better, but he is a warrior. He's physical. He's tough. He plays through pain. He did it all year. And I'll always remember after they clinched the playoffs against the Atlanta Falcons in primetime, walking into the locker room, him giving a bunch of the linemen big bear hugs, and then Adam Peters was at his locker clinking, like, solo cups and pouring drinks, like shots, drinks, whatever liquor they were drinking, with him and Allegretti and Biotish. And it was just a couple of those guys right around the locker. And it told you a little bit about their relationship as they were, like, clinking their cups and having their drink to celebrate the win.
Yeah, this is the hard part, right? Because this is such a personal thing for those guys. And they shared in this unbelievable community, this brotherhood, the word we heard a million times. But these are the kind of hard
Where's
decisions.
Where's the brotherhood bell? Yeah. You have the brotherhood bell?
Let me see if I've got it right here. Give me a second.
Go ahead and ding that brotherhood bell.
Here's brotherhood.
There you go.
Two brotherhoods.
And we got a pop from Darius on the brotherhood bell.
Oh, I like that. So Adam Peters has to then do that and then go upstairs and objectively with his scouts and his front office go, I think we actually need to do better there at that spot. Because I do. I don't have the problem of knowing the guy personally and having had shots at his locker with him after they clinched the postseason. But whether that's Brandon Coleman gets kicked inside, now I've improved left guard, now I've got a left tackle issue, or it's someone in free agency. I mean, it depends on who you like. I mean, Mekhi Becton was a reclamation project for Philadelphia, played well at guard. Is that somebody you're interested in? I mean, who knows? But there are a couple spots I would like to do better at, and that's one of them. And it doesn't mean that that's not a great guy, not a great guy to have in the locker room and everything else. As we talked about, again, you do have someone that was an instrumental part of the brotherhood. You don't want to just get rid of him, but you also, I think, need to upgrade there.
The brotherhood bell is going to be a new show staple. I can see it now. The Wizards have a game tonight at 6:30. Who's playing in that game?
Who's playing?
For the Wizards. Kyle Kuzma's in Milwaukee. Jonas Valanciunas has been traded as well. The 8-41 Washington Wizards strapping it up with the kids tonight against the 17-33 Brooklyn Nets on the road as we close in on the NBA trade deadline. A productive day for Operation Capture the Flag.
Indeed, right? I mean, just get in that top three or bottom three, as the case may be, and let the ping pong balls decide your fate. Just, it's terrifying. But, that's where they're at. And again, it's about the kids. If you end up messing around and Alex Saar plays great and you win a game, I'm not mad at that. That's the thing that the people that hate tanking don't understand. I want to see improvement from Bilal Coulibaly, from Alex Saar, from Bub Carrington, from all these guys. And when they play better, sometimes that might result in a win or two. That's fine. Big picture, long term, though, it ain't about this group. It's about a group yet to be assembled.
Danny, you'll be happy to know this. I botched something. Sometimes I can be a little careless in my remembering everything just without writing it down. So it was my understanding that I was staying in my hotel that I'm currently at through tonight into tomorrow. It turns out I was apparently supposed to check out from my hotel today.
Oh.
So when housekeeping.
Oh.
When they got to my room, they said, where is this guy, and why is his clothes thrown about, and why isn't he packed up? They wanted me to check out. I didn't do that. Checkout was like several hours ago. my clothes are still where they're not supposed to be because I've been here at work all day. So now I got to go back and figure out exactly what the deal is there. But apparently your boy does not have that room tonight, so I've got to make my move earlier than I anticipated. But have you ever done that before where you just didn't check out when you were supposed to?
Yes.
And then they're like, what did they do with my stuff? Did they pack my stuff and move it somewhere, or do they just charge me for the day? So, like, what are we doing?
Well, I've never done it where I then, like, left to do a radio show.
I mean, they called hours ago, and they're like, can you come back? And I said, I'll see you in about 7 hours.
Yeah, we do this 4.5 hour thing. Other shows do 4, but we do 4.5. Maybe that's how we got to the number 11 on the Barrett list. Like we won some tiebreakers.
That was worth like 3 rankings. That's right. We were 14, and then they said that these guys actually do an extra 30 minutes, so let's give them a little credit.
These guys do an extra 3.5 hours a week. These guys are incredible. But it was the rap on the door. It's like, you're past your checkout. And I went, no, that's not true. I have another day. And they went, no, you don't. And, you know, went to the front desk and found out that I didn't. And they gave me a chance to, like, pack up my stuff. They didn't, like, you know, throw it out in the hallway or throw it out in the street, you know, like some sort of, like forced removal. But it was one of those, like, yep, you don't have the room anymore and we need it. There's more people coming. And that was awkward and tough. So I have no idea what you're going to be facing when you get back. Do you have a place to go?
Oh, yes, I have a place to go. It's just I thought that I was pivoting to my second place tomorrow.
You're not.
When I'm apparently supposed to do that today.
Ah, that's tough.
I was just off by a day.
Yeah.
I didn't pack anything. I guess the hotel doesn't think so.
They don't see it that way.
They're not as excited about it as it seems like you are at this juncture. But yes,
that stinks, buddy.
I got some tough questions to answer when I get back over there. All right, couple of final notes here before we say goodbye for the evening and get ready for a monster show tomorrow. Ron Rivera's back with a new gig. He's going to be at Cal. Sounds like he's getting the job as their GM. I am happy for him. That is a good hire. He obviously got an interview with the Jets, but he's not getting an NFL head coaching job anytime soon or probably again. So might as well go back to the roots where he was a player at Cal, where he's very popular and helped to run that program. Myles Garrett went on multiple shows today on Media Row, was asked about the Commanders, said he would absolutely have interest in playing with Jaden Daniels, and went on to talk about their need at defensive end, saying that he would be a fit. Sounds like among the teams he'd be willing to play for, Washington's one of them. That's as far as I'm willing to go.
Yeah, there are 32 teams where he'd be a fit. There's no place where I think they'd go, you know, we don't have a place for Myles Garrett. So, yeah, I think your point stands. There was a gleam, if I may say so, in his eye talking about Washington. I guess that to me is maybe the bigger story, right? Not necessarily that the headline might read Myles Garrett asks to go to Washington, which isn't the case. That's not what happened. But the fact that he's complimentary of Jaden Daniels, that he, you know, clearly knows that their roster has a hole right now as of this minute at defensive end that he could fill for a team that was in the NFC title game, that to me is the fact that there's positive energy from a guy that might want to come here and who's a star in his prime still. That's kind of the big takeaway there.
NFLPA is saying nobody wants 18 games, and they are wrong. They're referring to players. I, two thumbs, this guy, portly fella, bearded dude, right here, won 18 games. In fact, I want 20 or 22 or 24.
What's the max you'd 18. Want? What's the max where you'd say, you know what, that's enough?
In one season?
Yep.
146.
Mm-hmm. Reasonable
something
number.
Something like
that. Yep. Every week, the whole like you give them a month off or so?
Yeah. So there's 52 weeks in a year.
Mm-hmm.
3 games a week, 104. How about 156?
Yeah.
You play Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday. You can't.
That'd be tough.
I need a computer.
Yeah.
I need to figure out the schedule.
You want to play every 2 days.
Yeah. 18 is perfect. I'm good with 18. I don't do this Danny Ruye thing where it's got to be an odd number of games, so I have a winner and a loser and a 500 record is the end of the world. 18 games. If you're 9-9, you're 9-9. Sounds round to me. That's fine. I'm more worried about overtime getting solved and fixed in that regard. But, yeah, let's do 18. We can all do it together. Let's high-five about it.
I don't like it. 17 is perfect, and I always knew it was going to be short-lived because I know it was a stepping stone.
Oh, it's happening,
to 18.
Baby.
Oh, it's dude.
You're going to have more football, man. I apologize.
Yeah,
I've always known.
I mean, there's a reason you don't just eat nothing but the one food that you like the most. You need some variance, but yeah, one more game. I'm not really going to complain about it. So 17 to me was perfect because, as you said, it's important. The reason we keep scores to have a winner and a loser. So now I've got a bunch of average. I hate average. I hate having everyone they have the same record. So there should be an odd number of games. One game for every team should be at a neutral site at a city that's kind of part of their market. So, for example, Cleveland and Cincinnati should play in Columbus. You know, Atlanta and, I don't know, you sort of pick whoever they're closest to should play, you know, in Athens, Georgia, something like that. Washington, Baltimore should play in Annapolis with the Naval Academy, something like that. Everybody should do those sorts of things. I'm a genius. It's correct. But, yeah, 18 games are coming. It's a thing.
You guys are going to listen to this show tomorrow. I'll tell you that right now. We have a bang-up guest lineup already lined up and planned for tomorrow. Kurt Warner is going to be on the show, the Hall of Famer. We've got Brian Baldinger, one of our favorite NFL guests. Our buddy Dan Orlovsky, nobody breaks down quarterbacks in the NFL better than him. His ESPN colleague, Louis Riddick, who's been interviewing for GM jobs last couple of off seasons. Great NFL analyst. Mark Schlereth, who won a Super Bowl with the Redskins. Marcus Allen, a Hall of Famer. Devin McCourty, who's on every single network that has any football coverage every minute of every hour. He will be here also. I don't know if it's Jason or Devin. I know Devin's coming, but I don't know which one's going to show up. Like, I'll interview him as
McCourty Devin. Will be on the show.
But if it's Jason, then that's fine too.
Would you know if it was Jason?
Yeah, he's just going to have to play along that he's Devin, and then I'll just say that he's Devin.
Yep.
But it's going to be a great show. Very, very excited about it. So we'll be back in the saddle at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Big thanks to our guys back in the studio, Toby, Vic, Ryan for crushing it, for Denton and Darius out here in New Orleans. I'm Grant saying so long from Radio Row. Until tomorrow at 2 o'clock.